Old. Hello, welcome back to our Muscle and the Hustle podcast. I just do the intro this week because Tony's done it for the last about 10 weeks, I think. But we're back, guys. We are back. And you know what? I need to apologize to these. I'm locked out of the Instagram at the moment. So you've probably been actually asking us and sharing the stuff, but I can't get into it.
Why? Well, obviously why, but...
I've too many Instagram accounts. And you can really have... You can really have...
Sure, log in on the laptop.
You can... Well, now you say that now, like...
How many do you have? I have three on mine.
Three. You're so cute. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
You're the boy who's giving me all the hate in the fake accounts.
No, they're like bars, like, so Blaine Cobbler there. 808 Coffee, Live at the Square, Jordy Mickey Matty, Muscle Hustle Podcast, well, 7 because that's the one to log in. And then the Avery Oma, Cat and Fiddle. And then Mickey Quinn.
Fuck.
Just because they keep adding me on to things if I have to promote an event or whatever. And then fucking never. I can ask. Just a handling. Sometimes it fucking logs you out. But anyway, that's the problem. So hopefully you should be sharing all your Spotify Wrapped with us, guys.
And hopefully. Well, who's yours? Who's your top listener?
I was actually just talking about the. In general, the podcast one. But my top listen to. Where is this now?
Go on, give us a... You saw mine, did you?
No, I didn't see yours. When did you put that up?
I put mine up about a week or two ago. Mine was straightforward, though. People actually knew mine before I put it up.
So, who was your number one was... Let me guess. No, your number one was Chris Stapleton.
Yeah, bingo. Spot was it? On. Yeah, spot on.
Everybody. Your number two was...
I don't know. With our only new number one... Oh, no, number two is the only one that you probably wouldn't guess. The rest of them... You probably would have. Let me go into Wrapped here. Number two is like not an outcast, but like it was definitely one where people were like, oh, right.
Drake?
Yeah.
Was that number two?
Good shout. You're two for two here. Yeah.
You know, I thought too. I was like, basic bitch Instagram guy.
Yes. Yeah. But I haven't really listened to Drake that much.
But you know what? Drake's good gym music.
It was really good. I don't
especially
know.
Especially if the sun's shining. And that's why I was thinking Marbella, Dubai, gym music, Drake. Makes sense. I'm
trying to find the rest of these.
Luke Combs is bound to be there.
Luke Combs is not there. I wasn't a big fan of Luke Combs until lately. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy him, but I didn't love his stuff. Morgan Wallen was there. I think Nate Smith might have been in there. I don't know. It was a couple of country singers after that. Zach Bryan. You know, it was that sort of genre. But yeah, Chris Stapleton was number one, which is hilarious. And I knew that would be the case.
He's good. He is good. My number one was Zach Bryan. Number two was Fred again. Number three was Macklemore. Number four was Machine Gun Kelly. And number
Macklemore's
five.
Macklemore's a metal one. Like, I don't even know. Is he releasing songs still?
Oh, his new album's fucking amazing. And then Charlie on a Friday. Macklemore is the most underrated artist in the world, and I don't give a shit what anybody says.
Very interesting. That's a very interesting take, in my opinion.
But then ours, we have one for our podcast. We were streamed in 35 countries this year on Spotify, not including Apple Music. And that was 71% of our total streams came from Spotify. And... We are... Oh, see, I need to get this page. We are... Yes, that's going to annoy me now. We were the number one podcast for 213 people.
That's actually insane. Thank you very much.
And we are a top five podcast for 784 people. And we were a top 10 podcast for 1,136 people.
Which would make sense for most people's average, for the average listenership, because it's been we've been doubling year on year almost. Yeah,
we've grown by 120%.
Yeah, there you go. Because that means then next year we should have 7 listeners.
We should get up to about 10. But no, that was good. It was fascinating. It was fascinating to see our top places. But then again, well, it wasn't. We kind of knew. So it was Canada, Australia, England, Ireland, Canada, Australia, and America.
Well, thank you very much. This podcast, we were debating topics. We were going back and forth, and we were just going to wing it to some extent, like we do everything in our lives. realistically, though, with what we've been going through, it's just we always dive into bits and pieces of what's going on. So, like, I think the best thing is just to say, what is going on with you right now, Mickey? And then we'll see where this rabbit hole takes us. And then we can obviously name the podcast off the back of that.
Well, at the minute, we're just, I suppose, the the madness of Christmas. Well, today is a Thursday, so it's the 7th today. So the madness of Christmas for me, gig-wise, kicks off tomorrow on the 8th. And then it's pretty much complete flat to the board until start of January.
Oh, and for anybody listening, we're touch wood. We're hopefully going to be able to do a live podcast with a couple of guests now, come up to Christmas and around that.
Yeah,
we're opening up me, Mickey, Daniel on for a podcast, Daniel Dorgan, and then we're going to have me, Mickey, and Caroline. And I think the Dorgan one will go into mindset. I think it'll be a good one. A lot of people get to take away. I think Caroline, we're talking about maybe doing something more based on like female perception of males or X or Joe, something along the lines of like tips for men with dating. Joe, I think something like that would be quite beneficial, or like even just tips to like make your relationship better. Or Joe, I think from a female perspective, it could be a good. It'd just be good to get a female perspective around.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've had. Caroline's probably our last female guest, maybe.
100%. Like, we are fucking useless.
It's hard to get. Yeah, you know what it is, because Tony's all over the world, and then I'm away, different places, and then people are always busy. It's very hard to actually get people and times that suit.
It's especially also hard finding the right people.
It is. It's also hard as well, because some of the people, I don't know, I think our listeners might be a wee bit, no, they like, it's hard to explain. I think they like us, but we're not, like, I don't think there's too many podcasts like us. No, there's not too many podcasts that are like would chat like the way we talk. So I think if we brought someone on that was kind of, I'm not going to say bullshit, geez, but if they did get very, like, I don't know, not being real, I think you'd be like, oh, well, fucking don't put that. Because we have seen, like, we've seen drops in certain guests that we've had on. And like all of our guests, I've loved everyone that's been on, but it's probably not, our market probably just didn't, it's just not for them. And that's why a lot of these always say to us, you know, would they far rather us too? But sometimes
as well, I think.
Yeah, it's nice to mix it up.
I think it's like a conversation you have with a randomer, though. Like, it doesn't get deep until you know the person, and by the time the podcast wraps, you're actually just starting to get into the good stuff. In my opinion, do you know, like the way that, don't get me wrong, like Joe Rogan's are obviously in straight away, and it's all prep and all, but like they only get in the flow like after they sort of get in their proper conversation. It's not like the initial 10, 15, 20 minutes. It's as time moves on. I think that's the same, like the Jordan Peterson ones and all that. Like, they get better as they go because you get a far better representation of what the individual is actually like.
Well, Joe Rogan said, didn't he, about they, who was it? Someone asked him, did he ever have any bad guests on that he didn't like or that it didn't work really? And Joe Rogan goes, I'm not going to name names, but he goes, look at any podcast that's lasted less than 3 hours where the person hasn't had to leave in a hurry. You know, someone goes, here, I have to get a flight. So he goes, if we wrap it around 2 hour mark, he goes, it's probably because it's going nowhere. So it's just like, as you said, once they start getting an hour and a half, 2 hour mark, they start really gelling. People start really opening up. Sometimes if that's not happening, someone's really closed. Now, it's a different, like, well, if it's an Elon Musk or whatever, because they're probably under a strict time limit. But Saul has real good ones. It's the same as Huberman, if you listen to his podcast. The long ones are the better ones because they go, well, it's not even that they go so deep, but they go so, like, back and forth and question each other and stuff. And that's probably where you'll get the most information, because there's no point in, like, there's no point, say, if me and Tony don't agree on all our views, and that's probably what makes this a good podcast. Because if we were just like, yeah, man, fucking yeah, that's it, it'll just be like two people like backing each other up. And nobody really wants that, because you want to question each other and you want to put each other like in the grief one. You want to ask them questions. You don't want to, like, we don't want to tiptoe around. That's when we talk about relationships, we talk about different things. If you be nicey and tiptoeing around and not really like putting someone under, like if you listen to one of our first ones with Thomas Maw, like if he were to interview Thomas now, we would have probably went a lot harder in the paint, asked him a lot more questions. But at the start, we're kind of like, oh, well, we need to fucking, we couldn't ask certain questions.
We let
questions.
Him lead that podcast, for example, like, and it didn't go that well then as a result, in my opinion.
Well, it's still actually, it's weirdly still our number one biggest listen podcast, and it's still...
Because his actual...
No, well, I think people are starting to go back to the start and seeing his name as well, because it's still, like, this year, it's still the number one podcast. You know, like, it's had the most views this year.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it's fucking, it's a weird one. But then again, the
I don't like that podcast.
Because it was number two, was it?
It was very early. You were organizing guest left, right, and center.
We were trying to.
If you got a specific guest you would like us to get on, we probably can. And the thing is, without sounding like a fucking dick swinging thing, we're far more likely to get bigger guests on now because I have a semi decent following.
Number five. People will
engage with that. They'll write back to me and be like, yeah, I'll actually consider coming on because you're not small fry.
Connor Mailer was the first guest. I actually didn't remember that.
His was superb. I really enjoyed his.
I want to get him on again because, you know, see where he's... Because
how he's won the All-Ireland since then.
He's
so
developed. That's 20... 13th of April 2020 was the day we started with. There you go.
13th of April 2020?
Yeah.
Mate, word is like... Do you know what's mental is how quickly life goes by? Like, I actually think it's scary. Like, before you know it, you're 50. Like, it's one of the things where I don't think people grasp. I think a lot of people don't contemplate. Like, I contemplate, I don't know about you, but I contemplate death quite a lot. I journal about it quite a bit, and I sound depressed. But, like, I also walk my dog in our graveyard. Like, with my dad, do you ever see that? It's like me, him, and the dog. A graveyard's up behind my house. My bedroom looks out of the graveyard. And the thing is, I think a lot of people, and I'm not saying this in a cheeky way, are not remembering every day, like, you are going to die. And the thing is, like, if you're going to die, you may as well fucking try and live to the fullest. Whereas, like, a lot of the time we get stuck in the, you know, day-to-day routine and week-to-week, and then months turn into years, and years turn into decades. And, like, you fall into these habits, these routines, and these rituals that you're not even in love with. They're just parts of your day. And I think that's how you end up getting a wee bit sort of fucking down as well. I think that's the only thing I'm lucky with, the traveling. Now, don't get me wrong, I do love coming home, but I love going away and then coming back, going away, come back, because I just find that it's very refreshing to be able to do that, because it gives you a fresh perspective again. You know, it shakes you up constantly, which I know a lot of people don't love because it's a wee bit more stressful than most, but I find that that's also, it makes you reflect a lot more. And for me, it's really important that this time of year is when a lot of people will get into reflection. It's like my favorite time of year. You'll heard me talk about it a lot last year. I think enough people don't stop and sort of look and see if you're going in the right direction. If you don't stop, pause, have a think, have a breath, and go, how am I feeling? What's going well? What's not? What's going well? Why is it going well? And then go, what's not going so well? And why is that the case? And then I think it really does bring things to the forefront for you. Because otherwise it fucks with your head, because before you know it, you know, that time passes, and the thing is, you can't get it back, and you've been lackadaisical. I think that's the one thing that people really should be sort of leaping out their skin at, is that opportunity that you get to really roll the dice. It's like whenever me and you were talking about travel before, and people are like, oh, should I travel? Should I try this job? And I'm like, the worst case scenario is you end up in the position you are, you know?
Yeah.
I think the comfort zone's a dead zone. And I state this a lot to gym bros and MMA fighters I talk to all the time. They talk, because you hear a lot of people like me talk about the comfort zone. But my comfort zone is the gym. It is building businesses. It is public speaking. What wasn't for me was starting MMA there last year. What wasn't for me is, you know, maybe leaning in a little bit to the Wim Hof stuff. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't mind dipping, but now I'm going to fucking Poland and shit myself. It's one of the things where I feel like it grows you an individual, and sometimes you can trick yourself into thinking that, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. A comfortable life isn't always a good life. Comfort can, I don't know who says it, it may be fucking that mad bastard who ties you burning the boats, but the comfortable, it's good, like, I think that's the reason why the cold dipping also works for people, because it brings you out, straight out of your comfort zone straight away in the morning. Because if you think about it, like you look at, like, the there's a correlation between, like, the best fighters in the world and poverty. You know, there's a correlation between the best fighters in the world and boxers and MMA fighters in rough areas and neighborhoods, and, you know, like, all you have to do is look at the Dagestanians, and, you know, when all the boxers came out of places like Baltimore and like Francis Ngannou, who pretty much came out of slavery. You know, they didn't have an easy life, and now they're some of the scariest, hardest people in the world. And I think the cushier your life, and I think that's someone we all work towards. We all look towards a cushy life, but sometimes you have to take yourself out of the easy and put yourself into the hard. I think that's why people have gravitated towards stuff like CrossFit in the last while, because it's challenging. And I think that's why Tony done the MMA thing, although he said he just wanted to be, just wanted to be able to control things and different things. But I think there's something to be said about testing yourself. Now, I'm not talking about doing some fucking mental, but I know a lot of people that go and do a marathon, just say, fuck, I'm doing a marathon. And then they go, I'll never do a marathon again. You go, why was it too hard? And they're like, no, it just wasn't for me, but I wanted to fucking prove to myself I could do one. And that's taking yourself completely out of your comfort zone. I watched a thing on YouTube there, a guy. He took an ocean last December, 20th December last year. Never ran a fucking anything in his life. Most he ever run was in soccer matches when he was young. Decided he wanted to do an Ironman. He done an Ironman last week, so he trained all year, did marathons, did different stuff all year, and then done an Ironman last week somewhere. Don't know where the fuck it was. But like he said, it was just a mad idea last December when out in the rip with the boys. And he said,
yeah, we thought though.
Sometimes I think people, your life. I'm not. Your life could be missing some wee tiny detail, and sometimes it takes a big action like that to go. Maybe it's go away travel on your own. Maybe it's fucking take up running. Maybe it's take up judo, karate, MMA. Maybe it's take up boxing. Maybe it's go to CrossFit. Maybe it's dip every morning. Or maybe it's fucking pick something mental, like I'm going to run an ultra marathon. And then put your madness to work. That's what I always kind of say the same thing. Put your madness to work.
Rita, I think one of the main things that you can't... It's not necessarily what you pick to, it's what you get from it. So, for example, for me, it's not about like the endorphins from the ice, but it's the fact of like the being proud of yourself. It's the difference. It's the person it's forging. Like I wrote an email about this and it's going out tomorrow or it went out today, which is hilarious. And I was like, you're going to get pain in life. You really are. Like, and if you're soft, and I'm not saying this in a cheeky way, it's why David Goggins always talks about the get hard stuff. If you are a soft individual and you've been in comfort zones and you've not been trying to push through difficult time periods physically and mentally, whenever life hits you with a brick, you are going to feel it 10 times more. Whereas, like, I'm not saying this, I think, but whenever I got up at 5 a.m. and I couldn't be fucked doing press-ups outside in the rain and getting in for a 5-minute dip, like, that's the hardest part of the day. But the thing is, everything else that came after that, even if it triggers me, it's a lot easier because you've done something that's very mentally challenging and it's released endorphins, but it's also built in your character. Like if you do that, other things become easier because you're like, well, this isn't that tough. So for me, it's a case of if you build yourself into the person you want. Whenever I wrote the email, I said like the difference between whenever you get burned in life and what you get turned into completely depends on what you're made of. And I was like, everybody's made of the same stuff, but it's what you sharpen it with. So I was like, the difference is when you get put in the fire, do you come out as a sword and sharp, or are you coming out as a fucking spoon? And I wrote spoon. I burst out laughing because I was like, fucking spoon. Because I was like, and then I goes, are you a spoon or are you? I goes, if the fire goes on you tomorrow, are you going to turn into a spoon or a sword? And I was like, realistically, I was like, most people will turn into a fucking spoon because they can't handle it. And that's the truth. That's the reason I broke down last year mentally after all shit came tumbling down. I wasn't who I said I was. I wasn't working on myself enough. I wasn't journaling. I wasn't working on my body enough, my mindset, like proper doing the hard work with the therapy. And I mean that in every aspect. It's not just get up and make your bed, get up and do an ice bath. It's doing the things that look after your mental health, whatever it is, even if that's spending quality time with your family. I wasn't doing enough of that. It's not being a hypocrite. It's being true to your word. And for me, that's the difference. That if you were to get fucking forged in the fire tomorrow, what are you coming out as? Because the thing is, the forge is going to come, as you know, Mickey, like with people passing close to you very recently. Like if you don't have the mental tolerance, like when life hits you or something like that, you are going to like everybody crumbles, but it's actually how you pick yourself up.
Yeah, definitely. It's
like it's not easy.
It's not easy, and the last month for me has been very tough. And then there was a young fella passed away this week that I would have known pretty good. He would have came to a lot of gigs, and he'd been best friends with a very very close friend of mine. And I kind of laughed when I was thinking to myself, we always say, you know, we always learn from stuff. Whereas I found myself this week being there for friends and talking to them about grief, which if this was 3 months ago, I couldn't have spoke to them about how they're feeling, you know, but I was, you know, checking in them every day and, you know, kind of advising them on, you know, what to do and not go back to music too quickly and, you know, just kind of talking about how I felt last month. And fast forward a month, this is how they're feeling because it was such a close friend, like a best friend. And I just kind of laughed at myself and said, you know, it's funny that if this had been 3 months ago, I wouldn't have known what to say. I would have said something, but I wouldn't have, like, it wouldn't be coming from a place where Sam, I know what I'm kind of talking about because this is what I felt. Whereas I just kind of, you know, you know, you learn, you know, you always say you learn stuff from your parents, but you don't think that my mum's last thing that was taught to me was something that I would have to pass on to someone else so quickly. I just remember thinking that to myself, that, you know, I kept checking in on Maddie and Jordy and just kind of, you know, texting a few of the other boys that would have, like, been close to Maddie. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, this is, you know what they kind of call, like, full circle. Like how I was feeling, you're really passing that on and you're just like, fuck, I didn't think I would have to maybe do this for a while. But then that's just, you know, that's the way it is. And, you know, sad things do, you know, sadly, sad fucking things happen in this world. But I have actually a question for you when you were talking there. Do you feel looking back now, back when you know, your kind of things started going a wee bit pear-shaped, do you think you were soft back then? No, do you know, you said about being soft and stuff, but I don't think soft's a bad thing. No, not a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad way to describe someone, because if it's a true like resemblance of how they are, you know. But would you have found yourself as being a soft individual then?
No, but I just don't think that. What's the best way to put this? I just feel like, for example, without like calibrating things, like, or without like condensing into specific, I feel like there was chinks in my armor that I was ignoring because I was focusing so much on other things. So I would say I wouldn't say necessarily soft. I don't know if that's the right term. I mean, more so a case of,
you were susceptible.
I think weak is the right term.
Yeah, and weak in certain areas, like you had a weakness.
I just think weak in terms of like,
you had a weakness
covering up your weaknesses because you're weak, not confronting them. Joe, like, for example, like, say you weren't a patient individual, or you weren't seeing like the bigger picture, or you weren't prioritizing people close to you. Like, instead of identifying that and taking that on board, you were like, I was covering the weakness more with more strength. So like, instead of actually going, right, well, this is off and fixing it, or like taking a second breathing and analyzing my life, I sort of tried to push on through because I was like being stubborn to an extent. But that is a sign of weakness, in my opinion, whenever you're in, not in the wrong, but you can't see the full picture. So I don't know necessarily if I'd say soft, because I don't feel like
I wouldn't say you were soft. Like, I would never even from an outset would have, I would never categorized you.
And I would categorize myself, though. The best way I can explain is, I wrote a journal on this before, and you'll get this. It was like, it related to the Shia LaBeouf quote. Like, I felt like a boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't feel like a man. I don't get me wrong, I was talking about, like, I was hypocritical. I didn't hold myself to my own word. I would bluff and excuse myself that well that I would almost fall into the trap of believing it. I think to myself maybe 18 months ago, Joe, you're like, I am a disciplined individual, but like, you would be, but not to the level of I would actually hold my standard to it. Or I'd be like, yeah, family comes first, but like, if my mom asked me to have a cup of tea, I'd probably work on for half an hour before I go for it. Whereas if I get asked now, I'm like, family's my first value. Like, for example, before the podcast there, I have to write scripts for filming content tomorrow. Content's not doing as well as it should, so like, they're my number one priority now. But then I was like, well, no, family isn't, they're having dinner now at 6. I need to write these scripts for tomorrow, podcast at 7. I was like, well, I'm gonna go have dinner with them because I'm not gonna get to see them after the podcast, Joe.
Yeah.
And I will work on for the half hour. So it's just properly being a person of your word, no matter what circumstances you're in. Because I wrote this as well. Like, whenever you start to just, like, see whenever people go, it's not an excuse, but X, Y, Z. It's not an excuse, but, like, I have this. That is an excuse.
That is an excuse.
That's what I used to do.
Yeah.
It's what I used to do. And whenever you have to justify it. You're trying to bluff the other person because you bluffed yourself. It's like, whenever I turn around and say, oh, you know, you don't have to do this because you've got X, Y, Z. That is you completely warping your own mind, in my opinion, before you even realize it. So for me, I think, like, I had done that, and that's why I would call myself weak, because I didn't stop, analyze that, and think, right, what is the process? So, and I think so many males fall into this, and then that's why you get this, like most men join up with that sort of stage of, like, where they're a little bit depressed when they're older, because they feel like they haven't reached their potential, because without them realizing that they maybe even bluffing themselves of what they truly want, or what they truly think they are, or what they even think they're capable of, they're trying to put a ceiling on it, and they're bluffing themselves, and then eventually they see through the fog and you see really where you can go, and you're like, ah, oh, fuck it. And that's the frustration, that's the sadness. I don't think I would have been soft. I think I was just a little bit weak in areas, and I was covering it up.
Did you know you were weak in them areas until things started to unravel? So,
well, I don't think so until I saw it.
Aye, so.
But you always know. Like, you always know. So, like, I didn't know. But the thing is, there's a study done, and I told you this. They interviewed, like, 1,000 people to see who was self-aware. I talked about this, didn't I?
No. Well, maybe.
Pretty much, they wanted a study on to see how people are really self-aware. So they came up with, like, studies and quizzes and, you know, therapy sessions and stuff, all this sort of shit to figure out if people were self-aware. So out of all the people they interviewed, 85% said they were self-aware. Like, they were like, no, I know myself, I'm self-aware, you know, I know my good, I know my bad, I know this, I know that. And out of the 85% of people that said they were self-aware, around 10 to 15% were actually self-aware. So, like, the worst part is, it's the people like the way I was, you actually assume you're self-aware when you're not.
Yeah,
you almost assume you know yourself whenever you really don't. You know bits and pieces, but you're hiding things without realizing it. Not like anything major, but just a case of, like, you know, where I would talk about values and switching off and down, but wouldn't be doing it. So it's the same as yourself. Like, and that's whenever you'll start to notice your head go like mine. Whenever you look at your life and you go, "What is my 5 main values of life, or 3?" And then look at what you spend your most time on. And list the 3 main things that you care about most in your life, your values, and then list the 3 things you spend most of your time on. If they don't align for long enough periods of time, that's when you get unwell mentally about realizing it, because you're facade and a character. It's not who you truly are. It's like, and that to an extent, I think is, I really wouldn't say it's even soft, because as you said, I love that question of, did you know? Because I will turn around and go, no, I didn't. But I think deep down,
you always know, but you're maybe
exactly.
You're thinking, what is
you
it?
You know, you just haven't. You haven't. You knew it was there. You knew what was inside the treasure chest. You just didn't want to open it because you didn't want to look at it.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same way as, like,
I think that's an excuse. That's like a pass in the buck. Well, I didn't know. Do you know, I'll learn for next time. It's like,
yeah,
you will. But the thing is, you did fuck that up, and it's a case of, like, you just have to be very aware of that, because that will always show that there's blind spots in everyone's life. And even if it wasn't your fault, or you weren't, if you don't take ownership for anything that goes wrong in your life, then you're passing the buck. And then when something goes wrong that actually is your fault, you might pass the buck. I would rather take all the blame for my mental health, for everything, because then it gives me complete power. Like,
yeah,
I for the lowest point of my life last year, I'm probably the very highest mentally feeling. Like, I'm not even joking whenever I say, like, I actually wake up at, like, 4:45 now, like itching to get out of bed. Like, I mean, like, every time I'm talking, I'm full of energy until about 6:30, I'm fucking dead in the water. Now,
you're my worst fucking nightmare. Like,
I am constantly buzzing now. Like, I feel like people will be like, what the fuck's going on? Like, why am I like in between sets in the gym, like, I'm constantly moving. I feel like I'm fucking always on. The only way I can explain it is, whenever you're living life fully on your values and you're managing your sleep, your headspace, you're really in tune with everything you're doing. Like, I'm looking after my food, my head, my body, my business, and proper, like, my mental health journal. Like, even, like, every day, like, spending 2 to 3 hours in the morning grinding my thought process, like spending time in the gym, spending time in the ice bath, spending time journaling, like, doing real deep work on yourself, like, I can't explain it, but it feels like I'm constantly on caffeine. Like, it feels like I've constantly got energy for family, for friends, for anything that's going business. It just, it's very hard to explain. Do you think
you've got energy for life?
That's exactly what it feels like. It feels like I had, like, do you know what people say? Like, oh, well, they had cancer and they've got a new lease of life. That's what it feels like.
It's like a freedom when you know, when you, like, when someone gets told they're going to die in 6 months. I've listened to a guy doing a TED Talk, and he said that the freedom that he got when he was told that was, like, unbelievable. So, like, he kind of said, he kind of go weirdly, he goes, like, the bills didn't matter. And he was a single man, and he goes, like, nothing mattered. And then he was, like, 2 months into living the fucking life. And he says, no, he was talking about, like, fucking living the life. And he goes, what if I use this energy and this thing I have of trying to get better? And they were like, but the doctor says, you know, you're going to die in 6 months. He goes, yeah, but that's one doctor. And he ended up going to, like, somewhere like Sweden and getting some mad treatment on the internet. Ended up surviving. But he was talking about that feeling that he had, and he was talking about how, like, he would harness that feeling when, you know, when you've got all the, like, it's like hanging off, like, the biggest mountain in the world, but you've all the safety equipment, and you feel like you don't feel like any harm can come to you. He goes, it's that sort of feeling where you're invincible, and he had that feeling. And I thought it was fascinating when he thought, like, when it was told to him that, you know, the worst thing possible is going to happen to you in 6 months. So anything that happens to you now to the end is going to be insufficient. And long to all the worries, because he knew the big worry was coming. He had a date in his head, it was coming. So everything else didn't matter. And he was just then, he went, fuck it, let's live life. And he did, like, start ticking these boxes and ticking bucket lists. And then he realized, what if I actually put this energy to good use here? And then that's what, he's still alive now. I must actually hook that out. But yeah, I get that. It's, there is, like, I remember going, when I went through my breakup when I was engaged, and I went to the therapists for a while, and I remember going into him and saying that I was depressed, and him saying to me, like, you're not depressed, you're about to have a nervous breakdown, because you're like, your central nervous system's fucking fried, you're working too hard, you're on the verge here, but you're definitely not depressed. He goes, talking to you, he goes, I know this, I don't even have to go any deeper. And we talked, we went a couple of weeks, 4 and 5 weeks, but see, like, the energy I had around that, or even after he told me, like, I wasn't depressed, see the energy I had, like, the energy I had to better myself, to fix myself, to, you know, unfuck my central nervous system, to pretty much, you know, unfuck my life, was, like, it was a feeling of ultimate freedom, where I was like, right, we've solved this big mystery, we've solved the mystery why I'm feeling down. And it wasn't depression, it was, I'm literally burnt the fuck out. And I can't, like, there was times where I just couldn't get off the sofa. Like, I couldn't get off the sofa, and I thought, and people, like, people told, like, my ex had said, oh, it's definitely, you're depressed. But, like, I didn't feel depressed, I just felt, like, lethargic. Like, fuck, like, the only plus I had, except for now I had night terrors every night, that whole time when I was feeling lethargic was the only time I slept well in my life. Like, slept, I mean fucking slept. Like, I go to bed, remember it was all around the time of Love Island, and I used to go to bed at 10 o'clock, and I wouldn't wake up till like 7 or 8 every day. But I would wake up at, like, during the night, I would have a couple of nightmares and terrors and stuff. Which was a huge red flag, but I just remember when I used to go to bed, I used to be out like a light, because I was that just worked to the bone. I was that tired, but it didn't give any credence to worries and burnout and that sort of stuff. I just went, oh, this is what you have to do. Like, this is just what you have to do, because it's a big year. We get married, house, the whole shebang, need to pay, renovating, money out, pay more gigs, doing gigs that I want to do, taking on extra consultancy jobs, chatting to fucking assholes that didn't want to chat to, then chasing, trying to get paid by said assholes. And it was just a circle and circle and circle, taking on too much, and then taking on extra gigs, and then just all the stresses with normal life added on top of that. And soon as I got that, say, four. Now, I'd already played a beef at this stage. So I'd already, my career had already took that step up. But as soon as I went to, say, the 4 or 5 sessions with the therapist, like the energy and life I had, and I mean this, I'm just even thinking about it now, going, fuck, I need that energy back now, was unrivaled. Short few months later, started training with Tony. Not saying Tony was a catalyst in this, but Tony made a big difference. Got into the best shape of my life. Done the biggest gigs of my life. And I'm talking, this is all within 18 months to 2 years after this. Probably less, actually. Fucking 18 months. Biggest gigs. Biggest career milestones. Best shape of my life. Happiest. Fittest. Was going out. Was enjoying myself a lot more. Was making time for friends. Now, sleep is still shite, like it's always been shite. But all that coincided with fixing a massive thing that I never give any credence to. And it was mad the way, even when I'm thinking back at it now, thinking about it, I know that feel of that energy. You know, the energy, I don't know if it's the same as fucking the Energizer Bunny here, getting up at 4:45 in the morning and knocking out 200 press-ups or wherever he's at. But I do know that energy thing that I had around that time was like unbelievable. Like it was just, you were walking on air and you were just more life. Even bad things that was happening, you were just like, well, no bar can fix that. That's grand. They were just taking everything in your stride. Knockbacks, no problem. For every knockback, there'll be a good thing.
It's one of them things where you don't realize, like, for example, I'm not saying I was catalyst for change, but it's like a small, it's always the small things that then add up over time that maybe they don't feel like small things, but they are in the whole ideal picture.
It's everything you put together, as you said earlier. You're eating, you're sleeping, you're training, your mindset. You start adding, even if you tick two of them. Now, I'm not the fucking, like, I'm just doing a bit of training at the moment. But it's, once you add two of them together, you do one good thing and you add a second one together. And then you add a third one. As Tony says, then you get your eating, your training, your mindset.
The flow,
and then you get your family shit right, and you're putting your time, you're being time efficient with your family. I know it sounds a bit bollocksy now, you're going, I'm being time efficient, but
it's energy management.
But it's energy management. I had this conversation with a girl the other day about energy suckers in your life, and she was like, oh my god, I just realized that, like, a person, one of my closest people, is an energy sucker. And I was like, yeah. I was like, and the hard thing is, you're just going to have to, like, limit their input into, like, your everyday life, because every time they come in, it fucking sucks energy out of you, and you're feeling it tight. But that's kind of...
For me, the biggest energy sucker for most people, though, is themselves. They don't realize that they start scrolling, they let bad habits creep in, and they don't honestly even reflect on that themselves. They say, like, oh, my friend's energy is running. I'm like, yeah, but what are you doing with your actual time and energy? Like,
I
think most people don't take responsibility for it. I'm not saying it. Like, people love blaming their close circle of friends. Oh, you know, they take drugs, so I take drugs. You're the one fucking taking them. You're the energy drain. It's not them. People thrive in all sort of networks, all people around them. So I always think, like, you take ownership for that. You're letting that person in. You're letting the input there. But you're also the one that, like, something Daniel always says that he'll definitely say in our podcast is, what you permit, you promote.
Aye.
So what do you allow? It's like, if you allow scrolling toxicity to get in your head, it's like, see if somebody triggers me online now, because I do get quite a large amount of hate. Me and you were talking about this earlier, Mikey. Uh-huh. They just get blocked and that's it. And it's not like, oh, I can't handle it. It's because my energy is so important. My headspace is so important. And whenever you let somebody else or anything live in your head rent-free, you're wasting your own time. You're letting it drain you dry for no reason. Like, everybody knows this. You get that text, that message, that event or that situation where it triggers you. It's like road rage. And, like, you just let it drain your energy and it consumes you. And it's so, so insignificant.
Yeah.
And the problem is then you are slowed down. Your momentum's lost. Your headspace is gone. Your productivity, your mindset. And for me, it's one of the things, as you said, it's like when you layer up your bricks, you become more and more indestructible. Because, like, as I journal every day, as I write emails every day and I reflect on my days, I get I get smarter. I put things in perspective every day. So like if I'm getting up in the morning, I'm doing press ups, I'm listening to the music I love, I'm going train, I'm doing ice baths, and I'm journaling every morning, and I'm taking a small walk throughout the day, and people are like, how does he fit this in? I'm up at fucking stupid o'clock, that's how. But it's one of the things where that for me is then what fuels you to then give to the people around you, what give more to your job, the ones you love. And then it also allows you to give more to yourself. The problem is a lot of people aren't working through their own issues to then allow them to actually grow in more directions. Like most people don't realize what they're capable of because they haven't backed themselves for long enough. Whenever you do that, like if you had asked me 6 months ago, would I be able to do Wim Hof? I'd say no. And see if you ask me now, I know that right now I'm like, fuck, I'm really going to struggle with that. And the thing is, I know it'll probably break me, but the thing is, I'm going to go anyway, and I'm going to see how the fuck it goes. And the thing is, you build the faith as you go. You build yourself in the process. I don't love trust the process. Just realize that the process never stops. You always are working on yourself. But what most people don't realize is what they're building themselves in, and that relates back to that forging question. It's like, what are you getting forged into? It's all down to what you're doing. And are you sharpening or are you not? And it's one of the things where I think people get too relaxed, and it's not a case of you need to go out and do push-ups in the rain and do ice baths. It's not about that. It's just, are you a little bit too comfy? Like, when's the last time you went somewhere on when's the last time you asked a girl out on a date randomly? When's the last time you approached a really good-looking woman just randomly and had a conversation? It doesn't even be a date. When's the last time you and your partner had sex in a different place than you usually do? A different position? Joe, when's the last time you've taken a date in a different... Joe, are you too routine that's not making you grow? And then before you realize that you pick up bad habits, you're not growing as an individual. And I think we're all guilty of that, but now is your sign to shake it up in any area. And I'm not just talking about sexual, I'm talking about even career. Have you asked for a raise? Have you pushed forward? Have you read a book? Have you been listening to a podcast? What are you doing to improve, not just level yourself up, but improve the quality of your life for yourself and the people around you? Like, the better person you are, it's not just for you. If you don't do it for you, do it for other people. But trust me, if you do the work for yourself, it will always pay off on every individual level. And I really do mean that, speak from the heart there, because I didn't do enough of that. And I think when you don't, you don't get it, you realize these chinks come because you've been, if you're too comfy too long, you'll get burned and you'll not realize when you'll not be ready for it. And that's sort of what happened to me to an extent. You're too comfy. You haven't been sharpening the iron and going every direction. You're maybe doing a little bit of gym, a little bit of nutrition, but you're a dick to your parents. Yeah. Or maybe you're doing a little bit of both of them, but maybe you're not prioritizing your mental health. Or maybe you're the exact opposite. Maybe you're listening to this and you know you're in a job you hate, but you're not ironing your skills for personal development to get a promotion or move job. So look, without going on fucking ahead, right, it's one of the things where you'll know it. Is sit and ask yourself that question of where am I fucking up in life and I'm not wanting to admit what is not right? What is not sitting exactly how I want? Because that shouldn't be like that. And don't think that time will solve it. It won't in any area. The only thing that will solve it is action.
Yeah. And the words that I was always told, and I believe this, is if you don't use it, you'll lose it.
I read that.
Like, look at people when they retire. They start slowing down. Retirement can be one of the toughest things anybody does because it's like they go from like 100 mile an hour to zero. So a lot of people retired don't have that many hobbies because they couldn't have hobbies with certain jobs.
Same with the honeymoon period in a relationship. The reason relationships are sore isn't because the time, it's because the lack of effort.
Yeah, people get too complacent. You can get complacent, and this is full circle. Here we go. You get complacent with life, and you get an easy life, and you don't put yourself out there. Same as, you know, as Tony says, when you're dating, like, never be afraid to ask someone out. You know, if you fancy someone, fucking go for it. Like, what is, I know people are shit scared of ending up in a group, in a fucking group chat of a load of girls. People are shit scared of that. Who gives a fuck? Most girls, if they're worth it, will never be putting you into a group chat to go, check this dick out, he tried to ask me out. That is just telling you she's not worth it. But you're brave enough to shoot your shot. Same as girls. If girls shoot your shots, if you have to, you know, it's, if you don't put yourself out there, things don't change. You don't put yourself out there, you'll continue with what you have. If what you have is what you're happy enough with for the time being, so be it. sometimes it's, you know, if you're the foot in the throttle all the time, sometimes you just have to take a wee flow time. But if you're, you know, if there's a guy out there or a girl out there that you fancy the fuck out of, you want to pursue it, go after it. What's the worst that can happen? You know? What is, honest to God, like, in the grand scheme of things, what is the worst that can happen? You see a girl in a bar, she's hot, you catch her eye, she catches your eye, you're too scared to go over and ask her, just fucking go over and ask her. Go over and talk to her. Go over and say hello. Don't even try to chat her up. Just be a nice person and go, hello, how are you? You know what I mean? But then you could go home that night and go, fuck, I should have spoke to that girl. You may never see her again. And then the big what if. Maybe you won't think about it because it could be on to the next one, but there could be a what if down the line. And then you're going to be like, fuck, I should have spoke to that girl. Or, you know, you just missed opportunities. Could be life, could be job, could be work, could be financial, could be something. Could be trips with the boys, could be trips with the family. Missed opportunities. Takes you out of your comfort zone. Say you're used to your 9-to-5, you go home after work and you chill out in the house, you scroll a bit, you watch a bit of TV, you go to the gym, you go to bed. But say if, like, you decided, you know what, fuck, I'm going to turn it on its head, I'm going to get up at 5 a.m, going to get the gym and all out of the way before 7, then 7 to 9, have a wee bit of extra time before I start work at 9, so we can get a few things done. And then after work, have more time with the family or time for my side hustle. My side hustle ultimately might give me more financial freedom. So then I can knock the day job in the head and I can fulfill a dream. Maybe that, you know, there's different ways and there's different things we can all do to, you know, make life maybe a wee bit spicier, maybe a wee bit more exciting, or maybe just better in general. You know? Could we wrap her there?
I think that's a good note to finish on. I don't want to overload too much. I think that's
so. This is going out on Monday, but I think the week after might be a live one in video as well. So we'll see.
Dicks or women questions and stuff you want to dive
in. I'll be back on Instagram. I'll get the Instagram fired up. We have one here actually. We have a question. This is going to take me 2 seconds. This was sent to us on Spotify. We were talking about coffee last week, was it? Coffee last week. I says magic coffee. Some boy nearly fell off a treadmill because he's a coffee snob too. Never heard of magic coffee. Thought we were actually talking about magic beans, Jack and the Beanstalk. What a magic coffee is, it's similar to a flat white, but it's got less water, the same amount of coffee, but less water and less milk. So it's stronger concentrate. So there's less liquid, but it's still the same strength of coffee. That's what a magic is. And it's from the Melbourne, St Kilda area of Melbourne. So whoever that guy was that asked, that's what a magic is. So it's less water, less milk, same strength coffee, just a wee bit smaller. It's like the same size as, I think it technically is a ristretto because it's less water. So that's all it is. That's the question. Keep sharing, liking, rating. Our average rating is 4.9 for the year. It's not 5, but we know we'll do. We're not perfectionists here.
That's enough for now. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you have a great week, and let's get fucking up and after it.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
Kings.